I'm Rob Frey, and I'm from Yakutat.
Awesome. So our first question is, why do you want to be superintendent of the Haynesboro School District?
I like the size of Haynes. It's bigger than Yakutat, however, it's not too big. My leadership style has a lot to do with relationships. And if it's not too big, it's easier for me to form the relationships that kind of engender working together better, collaboration, empowering people to rise up because you believe in them and you know them well enough where you can say, I believe in you, you can do this. And then be it a staff member, be it the school board, be it parents, they go, yeah, I can do this. Let's see what we can do. And that's a main reason for me wanting to go to Haynes. Haynes is in, believe it or not, a better financial situation, and that is a draw. It also has enough of a staff for me to have a leadership team to work with. Here in Yakutat, I'm it. I'm the director of SPED, the principal, the superintendent, the federal grants manager, though we outsource some to CERC, and payroll, we outsource some to CERC. Everything is front-loaded here to go to those people that finish the services for us. So I would really enjoy having that leadership team to work with. And I had that when I was in Southwest Region, when I was the director of special ed. We had a leadership team to work with, and that was enjoyable to do that. Right. And then let's talk about how beautiful Haynes is. You know, coming from north of Nome, for 6 years as a principal, you know, you learn to love the tundra, but I'm a mountain, water, tree baby all the way.
So. Great. So I forgot to say that, so I'm going to ask the primary question, and then if anyone has a follow-up, then they're just going to ask you directly. Okay? So just as our process here as we move along.
Okay.
So, second question, if you were to leave your current district, what legacy are you leaving behind that has strengthened that district?
The legacy I would leave behind is transparent management, where what we have, you can have faith in and trust that what you see, be it financial, be it program, be it instruction, be it community access, it's to be known to be true. And also going forward, Yakutat has had 20 or more year old textbooks that they've been teaching out of. They've had antiquated everything. So in my 2 years, it's been a discovery of this is where we're at, this is where we need to go. And then getting the staff to step up to take a risk and learn some new techniques by bringing in staff development, to bring in the standards so that we're teaching at a higher expectation. We are going forward, and we're preparing our kids better to reach that 21st century. And that's the legacy that I'm leaving. And I'm also doing it in conjunction with a group of people. It's not me doing it. It's me facilitating it as a leader.
All right, super. Thank you. So one of the board identified priorities in the Haynesboro School District is educational technology. Please describe what you would see in a school that is effectively using technology.
A school that's effectively using technology would start in the elementary so that the students have a working knowledge of not only how the computer works, but how to do the entry. You know, the basic typing skills are needed so that they know how to do that, how they can use the technology to access resources and information. And then as you get older, these resources and information turn into actual learning tools where you might not be able to get this class in the school itself, but you can access it online so that we can go beyond the limitations of our physicality to what's out there in the world. It's our job to be able to make our kids reach the 21st century without being afraid to leave. They can choose to stay, but they need to be able to take that risk by having as many opportunities as possible for them to say, you know, I want to take that because I don't understand it, I want to learn. And by being able to take that risk and go forward, they can go the next step. And technology is going to help our students do that, especially with funding becoming more and more limited.
I'd like to ask a question. Have you worked in a school district that has integrated technology into their programs?
Southwest region does that a lot, yes. Okay. And Bering Strait did that too.
Okay. Great. So the next question is somewhat of a...
I do want to say okay. We do that as much as we can here, but we're so limited on our bandwidth. And we have one satellite that comes in, so that we have correspondence classes and that we use all the time. It's just 10 students can get on the classes and 8 can be kicked off, literally. Mm-hmm. That we're working right now is probably because it's after 5 o'clock and everybody left the building just to try to ensure that you were more able to see me and talk to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Right, that infrastructure is a
yeah.
Important piece there. Okay, so the next question is somewhat of a scenario question. So you are superintendent, and the state provides 63% of the revenue for your district. The state has a $4 billion shortfall, and education is not spared from cuts. How would you proceed to reduce the district budget?
First of all, I think we need to do a visual list that says what we have going on here and then prioritize. And I would not do that alone. I would bring in board members, parents, and teachers, that we need to prioritize what we can live with and live without. And then we need to cut from there. And unfortunately, so much of the budget is dictated that we have no give or take on, it usually always enters in that someone ends up losing their job, but there also comes a point where you can't lose any more jobs. And then it could be programs, and it's got to be a combination, and it cannot come solely from my office. It needs to come from a collaboration of people working together to make the decision, because we all have to own it.
Right. So next, describe a situation in which you made an unpopular decision, why you made this decision, and how you managed the implementation of the decision. And so the follow-up to that is going to be, would you do anything differently today?
You haven't heard. I was in the Juneau newspaper last year. I cut the boys' basketball team. We did not have enough eligible boys for basketball. And they wanted us, they being certain people, wanted us to say, it's okay, we'll wait for the next eligibility, hoping that maybe the students would be eligible. Meanwhile, we would have to dictate funds for travel, and other district decide to dictate funds for travel that could affect them flying in or not and affect their budget. And the history in the past was that the same kids were not eligible and they never did become eligible. So in collaboration with the staff and the school board, my recommendation was to cut boys basketball. We weren't going to vote for something ahead. That's like voting using special ed funding for intensive need kids to balance your budget, and then the intensive need kids moves away. I'm not in support of that, because you never know what's going to happen. And so there was a big outcry, and people went to the newspaper, and I was interviewed, and everybody screamed and yelled, and eligibility was what it was, and it all proved true. And this year, we came into the year where, okay, we are now going to have two study halls instead of one after school. One is the mandatory study hall, and the other one is the voluntary study hall. And the kids that just want to go into the library and get their work done and read their 20 minutes a day, do whatever to get, and they don't have to take it home and have an adult in there to help them, they can go there. Those that had a certain grade level or detention or work that needed to be done in order to keep them eligible, they had to go to the mandatory. And what it came down to this year is we did not even have the numbers of boys, but they all had the equal chance. So we did not end up with a team this year, but there was no question across the board, even within the community, that it's not just our kids, it's our numbers have gone down, that we are doing everything as a school to show that we support all the way around every chance for our students to participate in what little of activities we have. And it's utilized, the mandatory study hall is utilized all the time. We have a girls' basketball. We have a voluntary cheerleading and wrestling. And these voluntary coaches still use the mandatory and they still expect the same expectations. And they've gone and they have fundraised all their money to go to any meets, any whatever they do, the community has come together to do that, but there's been no comment in a negative manner about our expectations. So I learned I needed to be more visible with the supports we had this year from last year, mm-hmm. so that people could see and not take ramblings of irate, emotional parents.
Okay, thank you.
So the last question is, could you elaborate about the contractual relationship that you have with the Yakutat School District?
Do you mean like what my contract says? Mm-hmm. My contract is a 2-year with an option of a third. This is the option of the third. They're supposed to do it in January. The board president has been out of town, and different board members have been out of town, so they've asked to wait. They've also asked to wait because of some of the financial reasons that are going on. I make $106,000 a year, which is a $5,000 pay cut from being director of special ed, but that's how much I want to do what I'm doing. So please know that. They pay for some of my organizations I belong to. They support me in any type of travel that I can do to help make Yakutat visible, because that's one of the issues we have. Yakutat had not done board training, had not gone out to meetings or anything for a number of years, trying to save money. And what we found out is people didn't know that there were issues here. And by going out and I'm bringing board members with me, it's becoming more visible that Yakutat has some needs and we're looking for ways to get help. And that's part of my job, is to advocate for the school district that I'm with. And I've had total board support with that. They want me to work in collaboration with the borough and the tribe, and I do that. We have meetings usually every Friday, but for the past couple months we haven't, because the Yakutat general manager has left. Mm-hmm. And until they get someone in, it's been like, no, we don't have time to meet right now. So we usually meet in a little format once a week, just to, here's what's going on this week with us. And, you know, like we have maintenance issues and the city steps in to help with some of them. And then they have activities and we have an auditorium and they sign out the auditorium and they use the facilities here. So it's a mutual, And this is what the board expects me to do. So this is what I do. It's a 260-day contract. They pay all my insurance.
So I guess the question is, so you're under a 2-year contract with an option for the third. So you wouldn't be breaking your contract in order to come to us.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
No, ma'am.
So I have a question. Just to back up a minute with your question about the situation you gave of sounds like it was a collaboration of cutting the boys' basketball team with some sound reasoning. If you looked back on the process of that, would there be anything that you would do differently? I did hear that you were more visible this year, and that was a win-win for you, a plus. But as far as looking at the process, would you have done something differently there?
You know, I took a lot of the fall for that because the teachers were not comfortable trusting the board. And no, I don't think I would have done anything different because I did have board support. And when push came to shove, they realized, you know, we were all involved in it. But they also realized that the teachers didn't want to stand up and say publicly, even though privately they spoke with board members and helped to make that decision. No, I would not have done anything differently.
Okay.
You have to trust, and it's all about relationship building. And that was right at the beginning of my first year, so... You know, let's see if she's strong enough to handle it. And I guess I passed the test.
Must have been very hard.
Yes, it sounds very difficult.
Right. Don't touch basketball. I know that.
I have a
question.
I just believe education first.
Right. So we have about 5 minutes left. Do you have any questions for us?
Why the ferry and why not fly in if the top three go on the ferry? Is it to see if we can handle the ferry and not get seasick?
So that has to do with being sure that you can make it into Haynes. So there are times when even our... flights that are IFR actually don't make it into Haynes. So yesterday there weren't any flights into Haynes. So we didn't want to, when we were scheduling, we didn't want to have a schedule that was depending on, you know, an actual blue sky day.
And the reason, Robin, especially in the winter time, the flights leave after the ferry. And so if you stay in Juneau to fly and you can't fly, you've missed your chance to take the ferry. So there's not, it's like the ferry isn't a, it's not a true backup at this point for same day travel.
Okay.
It's more like,
okay. We'll be going back if we don't make our flights. Oh, there is one later that afternoon, evening that we could take sub.
Right.
We built it particularly around the ferry.
right.
So,
yeah, right.
So, you know, all of our flights are, you know, depending on the daylight and, you know, in the winter there are fewer flights and such. So if I
were lucky enough to be offered this position, you guys would help find housing, right?
You know, the way that works in the past is that there are a lot of us, and you know, we kind of all have feelers out, and then the woman who's the administrative assistant, Ashley Sage, she pretty much knows everybody in town, and she can you know, work miracles. So we would definitely help you find a place.
Do you want an authority figure that is team based, or do you want an authority figure that dictates?
We have a really strong administrative team here. We have Renee Martin, who's our middle school and our 712 principal, and then we have Cheryl Stickler, who's our K-6 principal. We have a Kim Cunningham, who's our director of student services, and then we have, you know, our administrative staff, and everyone, they're all highly qualified, and I think that's one thing that Rich Carlson has found this year is just, you know, utilizing that team to, you know, be the, as effective as they can be. So we really promote teamwork within the administration and also with the board.
I was going to say I'm very transparent in my management, and I just want you to know that you'll know where I stand, but you'll also know the facts. Mm-hmm. And I'm very tight about not doing anything illegal, especially with personnel. And I just feel that the more honest I can be with my board, the more they understand the decisions I make, and then I get the support that's needed for the sake of the kids. And that's what I'm about. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, great. And we are also all very direct and honest and, you know, looking for that.
I was told that too.
Whoops.
About these. They'll let you know.
See, our reputation precedes it. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And so our process from here out is that we're going to meet tonight to come up with our list of finalists. And then Timmy and Peggy will be in contact with you tonight or tomorrow. And then those on-site interviews are the 22nd to 24th of February. Mm-hmm.
And I will be in Juneau for the superintendent fly-in, so I can leave right from Juneau to there if I make the cut.
There we are. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Robin. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.